Well, we told you we were going to talk about peace, and I want to ask you something. When you think of peace, what do you think of? You know, we've never really had peace in this world. There's been times when there's not been wars. There's been times when there's not been horrible violence. There's been times when people got along. There's been times when people didn't have to fear things. But that's not really what peace is. That's not the kind of godly peace that the Bible promises us. You see, we've never seen true peace. True peace came from Jesus Christ. He was the Prince of Peace. He ushered in an era of peace, but yet we look around and we see that there were wars going on at the time Jesus was there. We see there's wars going on now. We see violence going on. So what kind of peace are we talking about? We are talking about a kind of peace that does not depend on what's going on in the world. We are talking about a kind of peace that does not depend on our circumstances. We're talking about something called the peace of God. Okay? And I want you to think about this verse. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." So there is a peace of God that surpasses all understanding that we don't have a way to define. We don't have a way to say, oh, this is what how it works. It works because God is in it. It works because it is a peace that is brought by Jesus Christ, that is given by Jesus Christ, that only Jesus can give. And I want you to think about this. If you're here today and you have peace issues, you have family problems, that's a peace issue. You have financial problems, that's a peace issue. You've got relationship problems, that's a peace issue. You've got work problems, that's a peace issue. Can you lay your head down at night and rest? Can you lay your head down knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has you in the palm of His hand and nothing can take you out of that? Can you have the peace to face the embarrassment, to face the mockery, to face the persecution, to face the problem? You can. And that is what Jesus Christ promises. The prophet Isaiah spoke about this in one of the verses before what the youth read today. So turn back, if you will, to chapter 11 of Isaiah, and we're going to read verses 6 through 9. Let me ask you to stand one more time. And I want you to listen to the imagery here that Isaiah creates, because this kind of peace he's talking about is the peace that's going to be experienced when Jesus Christ returns in His second coming. When He's ruling and reigning on this earth, when we are ruling and reigning with Him, this kind of peace is going to be commonplace. It's not now. It's not now at all, but I want you to listen. I know some of you are audio learners. We'll cover you. We're going to get the visual learners in a minute, but listen to what he says in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, 8, we'll read right now. It says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den." You can be seated. Isaiah there is talking about peace. He's talking about something that is so radical. And that's really the first characteristic of the kind of peace that Jesus brings, is that it is radical. Now, what does radical mean? Not what we're used to, not what we think, not stereotypical. This is something completely different. So Isaiah paints this picture. If we had a wolf lay down right now with a lamb, how peaceful is that going to be? Not real peaceful, is it? What if a leopard lays down with a goat right now? Not going to be peaceful. Cow and the bear? No. How many of you let your kids routinely put their hand in snake dens? Just one. Okay, well, we'll talk about that. All right, so that's not going to work well now either, but there is coming a time when Jesus says, the world is going to be so much at peace. I am going to be bringing peace to this world in such a way that all these impossible things can happen. For you visual people, let's look at this. Think about this. The lion and the lamb. They got that through Photoshop, by the way. They didn't get that one in a real picture. But that's the way it's going to be. Let me ask you something. What's the lion in your life? What's the big, growling, roaring problem in your life? You're the lamb. Through Jesus Christ, this is the lesson that Isaiah is trying to teach us. Through Jesus Christ, the kind of peace that he brings, we, the lamb, can lay down with our lions. We saw last week Daniel. Daniel was able to sit in the lion's den, turn his head, turn his back to the lions, because he had faith in God. This is going to be us. This is going to be us dealing with our problems. And here's the promise of Isaiah. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, this can be you now. You can be the lamb laying down with your lion right now. It could be a person. Anybody got a dread about one of the relatives coming over for Christmas? Somebody you may not get along with real well? Somebody that comes and the first thing out of their mouth is politics or UT football? One of those two things? Yeah, got attention there. But anyway, we think about peace. Can we have peace? Yes, we can. What about this one? The leopard and the goat. Same thing. We can be like this little innocent goat laying down there with this leopard that would, in the world that we think of today, would gobble and consume. Same thing with the cow and the bear. These things are so radical that God wanted Isaiah to start talking about it 700 years before it happened for the first time. Because it was going to take us a long time to get this into our hearts and minds that we can have this kind of peace. And then this one's my favorite. Here's the cobra and the little child. We don't do that today, but we can. Is there something in your life? You know, Mark was telling us about the lust. That's a viper that these kids are facing. That's a snake. It's sin, folks. We're not going to have to deal with that problem when the Lord rules. We're going to have a peace from sin. So this is amazing kind of peace. God is talking about a kind of peace that should completely blow our minds. You would not ever let your child play with a snake like this. You would never put your sheep out there with a lion. You would never put your cattle out there with a bear. You would never put your goat out there with the leopard. But there is coming a day when that is going to be commonplace because Jesus will rule. But it can be commonplace now in our lives because Jesus can be and should be ruling now in our lives. All the lions that we face, all the bears, all the cobras, all these things that are problems in our lives that keep us from having peace, keep us up at night, keep us worrying. Remember, Paul wrote, "Do not be anxious about anything." That's the opposite of peace. The opposite of peace is worrying, fretting, needing the hands, worrying constantly. He doesn't want us to be like that. Isaiah said, there is coming a time in the future where you can be at perfect peace. And folks, you have that ability right now in your life. You have the ability through Jesus Christ to possess that peace that surpasses all understanding, that lets you face sickness, that lets you face death, that lets you face problems, that lets you face persecution, lets you face embarrassment, whatever it may be. with a calm and a peace that the world will not understand. You know the story behind the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul"? The fellow that wrote it, Horatio Spafford, he lost his fortune in the Great Chicago Fire in 1871. About a few months after that great fire, his son died. So he decides, you know what, I need a break. I'm going to send my family ahead to England. I'm going to send my wife and my four daughters over there. I'll join them in a couple of months, and we'll just take a break. So here goes the boat. He stays in the States for a while. The boat has a shipwreck on the way. Four daughters pass away. The wife gets to England. She cables back to Horatio and says, I'm the only survivor. What should I do? And he says, I'll be over. He gets on that boat, and the captain of that boat knew where that other shipwreck had happened. And as he passed over the water, he told Horatio, he said, this is where it happened. So Horatio's sitting there and he's thinking about all of his losses. He's thinking about losing his fortune. He's thinking about losing his son. And he's thinking about losing his daughters. And you know what he said? The words of that hymn? Turn to hymn 262. And we're just going to look at one of these first verses. This is what he wrote. When peace like a river attendeth my way. He had peace. In the face of every bit of the loss that he had, in the face of the lions, the tigers, the bears, all the bad things that were going on in his life, he looked at God and he said, God gives me peace. That's a peace that surpasses all understanding. We can't understand it. We can't understand how that would work. It's hard to understand how people can love on, can look at loss of family members who've died from violence, but yet have peace. It's because they trust in God. We're going through Job on Sunday nights, and Job, he's in turmoil. We see that. But he ultimately has a peace that he trusts in God. True peace is not dependent on any circumstance. True peace is dependent upon your relationship with God and the way that you put your faith in God. If you trust that God is letting you go through whatever it is you're going through to make you more Christ-like, to bring you through in a better way, to grow you up, to mature you, to do something in your life, He has a plan. If you will trust in that fact and lean on Him, don't lean on your own understanding. Because you lean on your own understanding, you're going to come up with your own ways to deal with that problem. And they will probably be wrong. You will probably dig the hole deeper. Speaking from personal experience. So that peace is radical. And the second thing it is a forgiving kind of peace. You think, well, what does forgiveness have to do with peace? Well, when you think about the turmoil that you face in your life, people have wronged you, people have done things to you, and you're all torn up inside. Anybody have a situation when you're all torn up inside and you confront somebody years later and they didn't even know there was a problem? I mean, come on. Who's the victim there? The victim is you by being all torn up and being anxious about things. But this picture that Christ gives us of a peace that is forgiving, I want you to think about the cross. Now, do we see Jesus Christ yelling and screaming on that cross? No, we don't. Let me tell you what we see Him doing. He's looking out and He sees the people that a week ago had hailed Him as the Messiah. And then a few days earlier had said, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. And He's looking out at them, and this is what He says. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. His prayer was for forgiveness. Jesus told us, He said, you know, I didn't come into the world to condemn it this time. I came into the world to save it. I came to offer forgiveness. I came to offer the miracle that God can forgive your sins, reconcile your sins, reconcile you to Him, and give you this kind of peace. We cannot have peace without forgiveness. You know, God makes it pretty clear that we are to forgive each other just as He has forgiven us. So, if you're keeping a record score, you want God keeping a record score on you? I don't think so. Peter was so proud of himself. God, Jesus, I'm going to forgive my brother 7 times. That was pretty awesome back in those days because all you had to do was 3. You were justified under the law by retaliating and doing whatever you wanted to do if they did the same thing the 4th time. And Peter's like, I'm going to go all the way to 7. And what did Jesus say? No, I tell you, 70 times 7. Jesus and God's love were about forgiveness. You think about the parable of the prodigal son. Sorry, kids. But it's a story of forgiveness. It is a story, a parable about God forgiving. And what did the son have to do to earn that forgiveness back? Absolutely nothing. Confess. Remember, he had this whole, you guys know this, he had this whole spiel prepared. Father, take me back as one of your hired servants. I'm sorry, I'll work. And he cut him off, and the father cut him off when he said, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. That's all he had to say. He didn't have to work his way back into God's love because of grace, because of God's forgiveness. And the third thing is about this peace, it's radical, it's forgiving, and it's restorative. It restores us to the way that God intended us to be. Remember back in the Garden of Eden, before sin entered the world? All the animals lived in harmony. There was no death. The lion could lay down with the lamb. The leopard could lay down with the goat. The bear and the cow, they were fine. That's the way it's going to be again. It restores the way God intended it to be, which brings us to the verse that Austin read this morning. And people wonder, what's that got to do with it? So look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9 again. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. So what does that have to do with peace? This is talking about all these animal combinations. He's talking about these things that are impossible by human means to exist together. Can your peace exist with your worry? Peace needs to win. The peace of God will surpass that understanding, will conquer your fears, will conquer your anxiety. And he says it's going to be so great in the world to come that there shall be no hurt or destruction at all in my holy mountain, in all my holy mountain. That's talking about the whole world. And the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God. That's why. When the whole earth is full of the knowledge of God, as you can be today, perfect peace can exist. In Colossians, Paul wrote this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. He says, For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, whether on earth or in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. When Jesus died on that cross, He paid the debt that was required for you to have peace. It's the Christmas gift that's sitting there, just like grace is, just like salvation is. As we sang, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the peacemaker, the peace giver is born. Will you open that box? Do you want peace in your life or do you like the turmoil? I know people that like the turmoil. Not me. I want peace. I want that kind of peace. Do y'all want that kind of peace? 3, good, well, 4 of you. That's good. 4 of you want this kind of peace. Now, let me tell you one more thing about this peace. Two-letter word, very, very important. When Jesus left, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Two little letters, my. Tell me a time in Jesus' life with all the records we have that he was not at peace. Was he at peace in Caiaphas' house? Yes. Was he at peace in front of Pilate? Was he at peace being whipped 39 times? Was he at peace when he was being nailed to that cross? Was he at peace marching down the road of death? Was he at peace being taken from prison up to that hill? Was he at peace when the Romans confronted him? Was he at peace when Judas kissed him? Was he at peace when he had no place to go to bed that night? Was he at peace when he had nothing to drink? Yes. Jesus was peace incarnate. He was the Prince of Peace. It means the ruler of peace. Not just lack of war, peace, goodwill, good feeling, comfort, confidence. The word shalom, you hear Jewish people say that. That's what this word is. And it means so much more than lack of conflict. It means being together, restored, in unity. That's the kind of peace that God can bring. And that kind of peace today, it is radical, it is forgiving, and it is definitely restorative. Y'all are quiet. Is that this should appeal to you. You go home and you listen to the news, there is no peace in the world. Our peace is not dependent on what goes on in this world. Our peace is dependent upon the one in whom we've put our trust. Our peace is dependent on Jesus Christ, who we know will never leave us nor forsake us, who will never leave us alone, who will be with us walking through the valley of the shadow of death, who will be with us around our enemies, who will be with us around our friends, who will be with us no matter what. And that peace that we can have through him and in him is going to be something that if you will let it pervade your life, you can lay down with your lion today. The Bible says you can lay down with the lion in the future, but you can do it today too. So think about what your lion is. Think about what your problem is today that's stealing your peace, because that's what it does. Anxiety, fear, all those things, they steal our peace. And God says, don't let that happen. I've got a source of ultimate peace for you, and it is my Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you have never experienced that kind of peace, the only way you will ever experience it is through Jesus Christ. You can't read a self-help book, it won't work. You can't have mind over matter, it won't work. The only way you're ever going to have that kind of peace is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And those of us who are Christians, we'll tell you, once that happens, sometimes it's still not easy. But we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, just like the author of that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." What do you think he was thinking as he's crossing that water? What's he thinking as he's sitting over the very spot where his four daughters died? Well, we know what he was thinking. He was thinking about God giving him peace. And that's awesome. That's about as peaceful as you can ever see. It's worth fighting for and it's worth believing in. So don't give up. You can have this peace today. God promises that. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus today. We thank you for the peace that he brought us and the peace that he promises us. Father, we just pray that you will move our hearts and our minds and that we will open our hearts to the kind of peace you want us to have, a radical peace. We're not worried about anything. We're not anxious about anything. We're trusting you for all things. It's a forgiving peace. Father, where we forgive those who have hurt us, where we forgive those who have wronged us, where we forgive those that are different than us. And Father, it's restorative. It brings us back into communion with you because you've told us that we should forgive just as you've forgiven us. Father, we thank you for the gift of forgiveness. We thank you for this peace that we have with you because of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the peace that you've given us through Jesus Christ. I pray that you would let us see our lions today. Let us see our bears, Lord, and let us lay down in total comfort and dependence on you with them, not worrying about them anymore and putting them behind us. Father, we thank you for the freedom that will bring. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.